you're doing just fine.
Yeah, okay. There's two words that we just were looking at. The word shakna in the Hebrew is the word that we use to fall down in his presence. The word proskenuo in the New Testament is the word to fall down in his presence. So both of those words we were looking at, and we were collating them together as words that mean to fall down in his presence. In the New Testament, there's two basic words that are used for worship. One is the one I just mentioned, to fall down in his presence. The other one is to go out of his presence. And in the good of what you received in his presence, now you're coming out of his presence. And we'll get to that in Romans 12, 1 and 2. That's the word that's used there, which is your reasonable worship or your reasonable service. So we'll get to that. The thought that I have is, what's the one of the most common verses that we think of when we think of worship? Hint, it's in one of the Gospels. John 4. Okay, you want to read it for us? No, I prefer English, but if you want to practice tongues, we could go there. As long as you have an interpreter.
Sounds like another topic for a time.
Yeah, that's next year's topic. Or someone want to help him out. I don't want to put him on the spot. 23 and 24, I think. And actually, let's start with verse 21.
Okay. John 4, verse 21. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on the mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship him."
Very good, thank you. And I want to just focus in on those two verses where we read that the Father is seeking, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And that the Father is seeking such to worship him. I just want to focus on those two verses because it's very significant. If I was writing this, which I'm not the Spirit of God, but if I was writing this, it would seem appropriate to write it in connection to Nicodemus. But the Lord doesn't tell Nicodemus, who was a very religious man, this. He tells this woman at the well. And I think it's very significant for us to see this. And what we get here in John chapter 4, oftentimes we tie it to a corporate worship. But I want to just remind us, in the context, it's not about corporate worship. In the context, it's what the Father is seeking from every one of us. We were created that we might have this relationship with him as worshipers. And so this is sort of the bottom line, is that this is something that God is desiring for all of us to focus on. If we go back to the book of Genesis, for example, and it seems that wherever we are in Scripture, when we go back to the book of Genesis, we get some help. And it's interesting. It's the book of beginnings. And so you look at the beginning. And in the beginning, God came down in the cool of the day to have fellowship with Adam and Eve. He wanted to have this ongoing relationship with them. And what we find in that relationship, when God came to Adam and to Eve, that it was there that he wanted them to focus on him. He wanted them to have a relationship with him. He wanted them to appreciate all that he has brought them into. But we know that sin interrupted that, and this whole concept of worship has been a struggle for mankind since. And so that's sort of the foundation that we find here when we look at this idea that, in fact, what do we find with Adam and Eve when they heard God coming? What do? they go and hide. This is a very important concept because they go and hide from God. Now, when we read the word that God is spirit and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I'd like to take the word truth just for a moment because I'd like to connect it to where we just were in Genesis chapter 3. Because this word truth, this actual word for truth in its original is aletheia. And what this word means is that nothing be hidden. That everything be open and revealed. That's what this word truth means. I know sometimes we say that it's that those that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. And we talk about that we must worship him according to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and according to truth. But that's not what the verse is saying. That's not what the verse is saying. In its context, the verse is saying spirit, that's my spirit, not the Holy Spirit, and it's saying truth, nothing hidden. Now, just to back this up, I'd like to see a portion of scripture that in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 32, we know, if we go back to Samuel, we know that David, and I think it's 2 Samuel 11, David with his fall with Bathsheba, David was a worshiper, he was a man after God's own heart. And yet we know that his fall with Bathsheba put real strength, restraint on that relationship with God. In fact, it says in Psalm 32 that his soul pressed in on him that he had no liberty to worship God. That he was so confined that he shrunk, as it were. And sometimes when we see brothers who once took part, now I'm going public, I'm going corporate just for a second. But when we see someone who's really taking part and now we see them shrinking back, we wonder what's wrong with their life. If you see a young person or any of us that are on fire for the Lord and all of a sudden we start dimming, we wonder what's going on. What's going on? You see somebody whose lives are really being poured out to the Lord and they're just bubbling over with adoration and praise to the Lord and worship toward the Lord and now all of a sudden things are simmering down. You wonder what's happening. And in David's life, that's what was happening. David, it says in Psalm 32 that he was so depressed within his own being. But then in Psalm 51, if we just turn to Psalm 51, just to make the connection to John, to what I said about truth in John 4. In Psalm 51, just to see this connection. He says in verse 10, in verse 6, behold, and this is so important. This is David's confession. Listen to what he says. Behold, verse 6, you desire what? Truth. In the where? Inward parts. Nothing hidden. This is God's desire for every one of us. And if there's something in our lives hidden, it's going to hinder our worship. This is the bottom line. This is the foundational truth of worship. And it says here that you desire truth in the inward parts. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. This is what God desires. He desires that nothing be hidden. That nothing be covered. That nothing be put on the back burner or swept under the carpet. That everything be laid out in the open. Because we read in the book of Hebrews that nothing is hidden from him, right? But he wants us to get to that point in worship that's where we're at. Because here, notice the connection. Then David says, purge me with hyssop. He says, wash me. He says, make me to hear joy and gladness. He says, create in me, verse 10, a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Create in me a steadfast spirit. He says, and then if you just jump down, restore, verse 12, to me the joy of your salvation.